Live from KTOO in Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea with this news. The Alaska Department of Health and Social Services has suspended thousands of payments for recipients of the state's senior benefits program due to a lack of funding. The program provides a monthly check for seniors with moderate to low incomes. Over 11,000 seniors statewide receive this benefit. According to Public Assistance Director Shonda O'Brien, the senior benefits program is divided into three payment tiers based on beneficiaries' income.
The lowest payment tier, which is paid out to the recipients with the higher income brackets, is the payment tier that gets reduced when funding isn't sufficient to fully fund the program.
Recipients in the highest income bracket are eligible to receive $76 per month, but they won't be receiving those payments for May and June. O'Brien says that Department of Health and Social Services is around $800,000 short. She attributes this to changes in the number of seniors in the higher payment tiers.
There's been a little bit of a shift between, you know, the people who are eligible at the highest payment category versus the ones that are at the lower payment category. And then also, we've also had payments being made retroactively to recipients who applied for the program whose eligibility hadn't been determined timely. And so some of those types of things have also contributed to the amount of funding being diminished more quickly.
The future of the senior benefits program is uncertain. Governor Mike Dunleavy's proposed budget for 2020 would eliminate the program altogether. However, the budget passed Thursday by the House would retain funding for it. Over the last several decades, the population of Matanuska and Susitna Valleys has grown dramatically. Back in 1980, fewer than 1 in 22 Alaskans lived in the Matsu borough. Now, it's about 1 in 7. I filed this report about the boom and the political power that's come with it, and the rise of a particular brand of conservatism. You can hear the rhetorical echoes between Governor Mike Dunleavy and the last governor who called the Matsu region home when her political career began.
We've been spending wildly beyond our means for years. Our children and grandchildren deserve better.
And I promised we'd govern with fiscal restraint so as not to immorally burden future generations.
There is a lot that government should not do, or cannot do, or does not do well.
Please, let's not start believing that government is the answer.
We're all part of the greatest experiment in self-government in the history of the world.
All political power is inherent in the people. All government originates with
the
people. It's founded upon their will only, and it's instituted for the good
of
the people as a whole.
There should be no change to the PFD without a vote of the people.
See, it's your money, and I've always believed you know how to better spend it than government can spend it.
That second voice was, of course, then-Governor Sarah Palin, delivering her farewell address as she left office almost 10 years ago. The tape of Dunleavy came from his State of the State address this January. Their warnings about government excess and championing of direct democracy echo beyond the governor's podium. A few weekends ago, at public meetings across the state, the public railed against all manner of deep cuts to government services proposed by Governor Dunleavy. There were supporters of Dunleavy's plan, too, but they were clearly the minority. But there was one House Finance Committee meeting that weekend where things went differently. In Wasilla, more than 100 people waited as long as 5 hours to weigh in on the state budget there.
Welcome to the Matsu, and I want to make it clear, welcome to Dunleavy country. We fully support this governor and his budget plan.
There were plenty of opponents, too, but overall, testimony at the Matsu Legislative Information Office leaned pro-Dunleavy. Here's a sample of some of the most animated pro-Dunleavy speakers. And heads up, they're not into political correctness.
I feed a family of five. You ever had top ramen and squirrel? Well, that's what it is. And you guys want to take our permanent fund? That hurts.
Government at its very best is a machine where you put in a dollar and it craps out a quarter.
Our government in the past has been spending money like a 17-year-old girl on her birthday with daddy's credit card at the mall, saying, have fun.
When I began working, between 75 and this year, I've averaged $13,500 a year. I managed to stay out of jail. I managed to buy property. I managed to stay off the government tip. All you hear is more, 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 more. It angers me. It completely angers me.
This is my time.
And
I want to say, this is wrong, and it should be brought to the ballot box. Let the Republic pick the winners and losers. We are the Republic. and let us pick what we want and the size of government we want, the schools we want, the community we want. That's the true Alaskan way. That's true freedom.
There was a notable schism among Dunleavy's supporters. Many said that to balance the budget, deep reductions to state services simply must happen, which will hurt. Others said their lives would actually improve, that with bigger permanent fund dividends, the private sector will step in and outperform the state services they replace. John Wood was a staffer to Dunleavy when the governor was a state senator.
I listened to the 5.5-hour House Finance Committee budget meeting that they held in Wasilla.
My sympathies.
Wood wasn't there, but he knows the area's politics. He's the head of the Republican Party for House District 10 in the Susitna Valley. And with the 2020 census on the horizon and legislative districts to be redrawn, his region's voices are likely to get louder in the next decade. Wood sums up the politics of the area like this.
Basically, a pretty conservative outlook on life and what they expect from the government or don't expect from the government, depending on your perspective. And basically, I just want to be left alone. If indeed they could have minimal government, that's their first choice.
He isn't certain what would happen to Alaska's economy if state services and jobs get axed.
You know, when you take that many people that are going to be spending their paychecks in the local economy that are no longer in those jobs, of course it will end up with a lower economic activity unless the private sector picks it on up, which that's unpredictable. I happen to be at the school that it will, but I could be totally wrong.
There's no shortage of uncertainty in Alaska, from city halls to the floor of the House of Representatives. Just Thursday, it was a theme in a budget debate speech by John Wood's representative in the House, Republican David Eastman.
Even though my district is large and has a disproportionately higher unemployment rate, my district is one of the ones continuing to grow.
Right now, 9 of the legislature's 60 seats are held by lawmakers who live in the Matsu borough. After the 2020 census, an appointed board will get the first crack at redrawing district lines to reflect how the population has shifted geographically. In Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea. Winter last year had a promising start in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. Temperatures were closer to the normal cold that residents expect. That changed in February and March. From Alaska's Energy Desk, Christy Schellenberger has the details.
Climatologist Rick Toman first started to notice a shift early in the year.
January, though, the pattern change started.
Then February got really warm. The trend continued in March, and both months broke record for being the warmest in almost 100 years of record keeping in Bethel. But February was the most dramatic. The average temperature was 3 degrees higher than the previous record. Before that, 2000 and 1989 tied for the warmest February on record for Bethel. Those warm temperatures have already been deadly. People have died driving into open water or falling through the ice. It also makes subsistence harder. For instance, hunters can no longer travel on the ice to hunt. And residents have to make the choice to stay at home or pay expensive airfare just to travel in the region. Some YK Delta communities have experienced flooding in February, a new phenomenon. Toman says there could be other consequences down the road, like an earlier wildfire season for communities in the upper Kuskokwim area. As for the Bering Sea...
And who knows what we'll see in the Bering Sea this year. With the expectation is with the very low sea ice in the northern Bering Sea, that just like last year, there's going to be big changes to fisheries and stuff as the southern Bering Sea fish go north, because they can.
Toman says this trend is likely to continue. 2018 was the second warmest year on record for Bethel, and 2016, the warmest. For Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Christy Schellenberger in Bethel.
And for your Juneau area weather, at Juneau International Airport, 47 degrees, mostly cloudy right now. More news and Folkfest at ktoo.org.